Open the Bibles on 1 Peter, the second chapter. I'm going to read from verse 2 to verse 10. Sometimes I think that you are thinking, why is he asking us to open the Bibles when the text is over there? Well, we'll refer to the text even after we have read it. So, you know, it's a good practice to have that Bible open and refer back to it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 to 10. And this is how it reads. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation. If needed, you have tested that the Lord is good. If indeed you have tested that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Did you hear that? Oh, awesome. To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracias, Señor. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your motivation. We praise you because there's something in us that made us wake up today. Get out of our beds. Get ready. Get in our cars and come to this place to be with you and to be with your people. This we do, Lord, because we love you. This we do because we know something happens when we gather together and we praise your name. And we ask, oh God, that as we continue this service, that your presence be with us in a mighty way, and that we may hear your voice and your spirit would speak to our hearts in a powerful way. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. So you may have noticed that the text that we read this morning preceded the text that we had last week. It was like reversed. But I did that on purpose. And I think that the folks who do these texts that we are reading on a weekly basis have some wisdom about that as well. And maybe you remember that at that time last week, we were considering the issue of suffering and how nonsensical it may appear to most of us when we are encouraged to endure suffering. Right? You remember that? What nonsense, I kept hearing in my head. What nonsense. That we're encouraged to suffer. There's no way, that's not for me, right? That's how this world thinks today. But what we learn is that Jesus Christ provided an example for us of what Peter wanted to communicate. And that's what Peter does. He brings up the name of Jesus and he says, hey, look at what Jesus did. He volunteered to suffer because he loved. Now, as we get into the text today, we realize that the title that I have chosen may be confused with a Bob Dylan song. And I just wanted to clarify what that's all about. It has nothing to do with Bob Dylan. And I'm so glad, although I really respect him and his writing, and I like some of his voice as he sings. But that song, Like a Rolling Stone, is about a girl who was used to high-class society and now had to face the music of being in the dumps, scrounging for the next meal. Maybe you know the lyrics of that song. So that's the context on which Bob asked, how does it feel? Remember, how does it feel to be without a home, like a complete unknown, like a rolling stone? Now, I wanted to put that in contrast with what we will be talking in our text today. Instead of having a character that is fallen, the text depicts a goal for us to aspire to. What Peter is talking to us about is an image of an ideal that we can seek, search, and find in our lives. When it says that we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, we can hear Peter suggesting that we engage in the most productive thing we can ever do. Strive like children to feed our soul. But nobody wants to be a child anymore, right? Nobody likes to be like children. As a matter of fact, I was reminded when I was 17, I thought I was a man. I wanted to work on my own, right, Chuck? We're talking about this. And you know, when I came, had to come forcibly to my home again, you know, because I had gone out and lived on my own for a while. I thought I knew it all. I thought I had it down. Then I realized the reality of life. But that is true in our life. Sometimes we think that we have it all down and that we are all done. But you see, Peter comes to us and tells us that as little children, we strive to feed our soul. And I think about that in the context of building. And I guess Peter tries to communicate that to us as well, that something is happening, is being constructed within us. Something is being built, or at least somebody is trying to build something in our lives. And when somebody is trying to build something in our lives, I tell you, it hurts. Have you ever been stuck by a nail? Have you ever had some rhubarb, it's called, right? Iron bars, and strapped around with wire and concrete poured upon. That stuff hurts. Peter says, come to him, a living stone. Now, Jesus Christ died a long time ago. And Peter here calls him a living stone. Do you realize what's happening here? It says Jesus is alive. And Jesus is at work. And Jesus wants to do something with us and for us. It is not only to heal us. It is not only to give us prosperity, as many people are preaching out there nowadays. Because it seems like that's the whole gospel has to do with being healed and having money. But here, Peter talks to us about having a hard time. Well, I wish I didn't have to preach about this, but this is the word, right? Now, I want you to remember something. I was reminded myself of an image and a story that is very familiar to most of you. Remember David and Goliath, right? Right? You remember what happened? David, a little boy. Goliath, you know, big man. And guess who won, right? It's interesting in the scripture is it talks about David talking to his fellow soldiers and telling them, are you going to let this guy talk like that to us? We are sons of the living God. Right? And the thing that he does, and he goes to a wadi and picks 5 stones. And it's described in scripture as 5 smooth stones. And he picked those stones and faced the giant. Now, 5 smooth stones. The question that a pastor who I was hearing preach about this said was, do you know what it takes to become smooth for a stone? Right? It has to be pushed around. It has to be knocked around with other stones so that those sharp edges become smooth. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound comfortable to me. It takes time. It takes hundreds of years for water to rush from the rains and push these rocks around so that they knock around each other and then they become smooth. But you know what happened in the story? They were picked. And at the right time, not all 5, but 1 of them was used. And that one hit a giant in the right spot and knocked him down. Now, like I said, I don't think that that is comfortable. To think about that image of being shaped, like to be smooth. But it so happened that those rocks needed to be shaped for hundreds of years so that they would become smooth, so that at one point David would show up in that place and grab them and use one of them. The other stayed in the sack. Did you know that? Still, they endured all this stuff. And now I think that this story makes allusion to what our lives can be. The journey of our lives. And there's a song that goes like that, you know, the journey of our lives. It may take us to struggle after struggle, through difficult time after difficult time, through things that are very difficult for us to address, to comprehend, to get our mind wrapped around. And those struggles, our edges are being smoothed. In those struggles, we become a little bit smoother. We learn. We learn to allow God to do something in us. We learn to relate with others. We learn to be patient. We learn to have patience in our own lives for our own selves. And we learned to be shaped, to allow ourselves to be useful in the hands of an expert marksman. Now, Peter encourages us to be built into a spiritual house as if we were living stones. What an image. Now, it sounds good. I remember I had a buddy of mine, a young fellow, played football in Atlanta. He used to say, sound good. It sound good, right? But in real life, it's not all that comfortable. It takes some doing. It takes some allowing ourselves to get into a place of difficulty. It takes a long time for God to build what He wants to build in us. And we need to be aware of that long-term process, that long walk. You see, a journey with Christ is not a matter of lifting our hands and say, I accept you. That's just a step. A journey with Christ is a journey for life. It's a journey of faith. Now, Peter is pulling a lot of what he's saying from the Hebrew scriptures, you know, the Psalms, from Isaiah, from Hosea. And he makes allusion to scriptures. And basically, he's restating passages that they were familiar with. It's passages that were meaningful to those who knew the Old Testament. He was simply quoting them or paraphrasing them. He was telling them already what they already knew. He quotes Isaiah 28:16. See, I am laying in Zion a stone. Quotes Psalm 118:22. It says, the stone that the builders rejected. You see, he's bringing all these texts forth to make a reference to Christ. Now, we as believers, we're supposed to be like those babes that he's talking about, small children who are drinking spiritual milk so that we can grow strong in our knowledge of scriptures, so that we can manage a life full of struggles in order to glorify Christ, who is building us up. I want to state this again. As small children, now some of you who are 50 or over.
Hey, wait a minute.
You see, when you're 40, you still think of yourself, yeah, I'm young, you know, I'm a kid, you know, I can do this. But, you know, when we get up there, we stop thinking of ourselves as kids. You know that this is not easy. You know that this takes some doing. You know that it takes an effort for us to say no to ourselves. To say, I don't have to do it my way. To say, God, I want you to build something in me instead of me building something for myself. Spiritual milk. Now, milk is something that is needed for children. Where we are babies, we need to have that nurturing, that all that food that is important for our lives. But then we graduate and we start eating meat. And we don't realize what that means in our lives sometimes. But Peter speaks to grown people and tells them, like little children. You see, it's an effort that we need to be making to put ourselves in a position to learn. It's an effort that we need to be making to put ourselves in a position to be receptive to what God is building, to what God is constructing, a spiritual house. And the thing about it is that we are invited to participate in the project. This is not a matter only of having God do something for us. This is a matter of us being willing to participate in the process. Being willing to let that brick be put in place. Being willing to take that concrete and mix it up. Being willing to do the work with the foundation. Having that dirt pulled out, cleaned up. You see, it takes effort. This is an active thing. I have a question for y'all. Will you take part in what God is doing? You see, last week we asked a similar question. Will you do that which is nonsense for the sake of he who did it for you? That was last week's question. Now this week's question. Are you willing to put yourself in a position where you are going to be roughed up? For the sake of our Savior. It sounds a little bit alike, and I think it's by design, because that's what Peter wants to communicate with us. You see, we're getting ready to engage in what I have called Christian chaos. Check it out. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever seen a construction site? It doesn't look like really organized. It looks like dirt is popping all over the place. It's being thrown here and there. And you don't know what really is going on. But you remember in the beginning, right? In the beginning of our scriptures, it says that in the beginning there was what? Chaos. It was chaotic. And out of chaos, God created. Out of chaos, God created. So to me, Christian chaos is the stuff that God uses to create something new. And Peter knows this well, because he refers to Christ as the cornerstone, chosen and precious. And he refers to those who don't believe at those who rejected that stone, because they were building something for themselves. And of course, when you have a stone that is smooth, that is great, and is ready to be put in there, but you say, no, I don't want it because I have something better, that stone becomes a stumbling block. You know, Peter knows this very well, because he stumbled himself. He was disobedient himself. Maybe you remember. He had aspirations about this Jesus. He had an image of what was going to be. That was going to be a great kingdom. And then he's being judged. The next thing he knows is he's asked, hey, are you with Jesus? This Jesus? No. Not me. I had nothing to do with Jesus. Now, but for those who believe, those who are the chosen people, royal priesthood, a holy nation, you see, here at Mount Air, though there have been many pastors, we have seen a lot of chosen people for a long time working what God is constructing and building. Some of you have walked a long journey for a long time in what God is doing here. But some others, like me, have just been here a few weeks. But you see, we all have been chosen. We all are being called. We all are being asked, do you want to participate? The big question I always think of is, we're chosen for what? What's the purpose? What's our mission? You see, not the mission that we have for the past, but what is the mission for today? What is it that we're being asked of today, for tomorrow, for the next week, for the next year? We talked a little bit about this in our Sunday school a few weeks ago. And you see, we're engaged now in conversations that we're going to widen up around the church. We need to be asking this question, all of us, God, what is it that you're building now? Maybe we need to reassess some things. Maybe we need to reconfigure some things. Maybe we need to step out in faith in some things. Because we see God doing something. Will you participate in what God wants to build? Would you be willing to be like a rolling stone? Being shaped, perfected, as you engage in mission on behalf of the kingdom. If you are, then let's go. Let's go and see together what God is building. And remember, once we were not his people, but now we are. Now we have received mercy. Once we did not have mercy, but in Christ we have. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being an example for our lives. And thank you for providing of that Holy Spirit to your people so that we could engage in greater works than those that you did. And I pray, God, that you may empower us, every single person in this place, as we engage in life, not only to think about ourselves, but to think about you and what you are doing for this world. We continue to see things far beyond in Africa where those girls were abducted. And we think, God, why is this going on? Why is this happening? And it's just evidence that there is a lot of evil. There's a lot of things that are going on around us that need our attention. But maybe it's not only in Africa that these things are going on. Maybe it's in our own backyard. Maybe it's in our own block, in our neighborhoods. How can we be agents of change for this community? How can we be smooth stones in your hands? God, help us. Help us to see even the difficult things as your work in us. And help us to be strong, to be faithful, so that we can be productive and great tools in your hands. In Christ we pray. Amen.